It's time now for the Bible Truth Broadcast with Dr. Ron Reynolds, pastor and Bible teacher. Listen now as Dr. Reynolds teaches the eternal truths of God's Word, the Bible.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another Bible Truth Broadcast with Pastors Ron and Tim Reynolds. Listen now as they preach the eternal truths of God's Word, the Bible.
Well, good morning, friends. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning to the Bible Truth Broadcast. This is Pastor Tim Reynolds, and on behalf of myself and my dad, Dr. Ron Reynolds, let us wish you a happy 2011. We pray that God will bestow His blessings upon you, and it'll be a great year for you and your family. And we encourage you to listen to us each week during the year of 2011. We thank you so much for supporting the Bible Truth Broadcast by listening, and also those who pray for us and also support us with a monthly gift. We certainly do appreciate it. I'm going to bring a message this morning titled, Three Plans for the New Year. The text is found in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. The Bible says, that I may know Him, speaking of Christ, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, as the new year now has arrived, people begin to make plans regarding the new year. Gym memberships probably triple during the month of January. We've spent a lot of time kind of sitting around trying to stay warm, and if you're like me, probably eat too much over the holidays. And so people decide they're going to go to the gym, and they're going to exercise, and maybe they're going to lose weight, and possibly even set a goal to lose so much weight. Some people decide that they're going to take a vacation, maybe that they have put off for years, and they have decided that in 2011, they're going to take that dream vacation. We make all kinds of goals and aspirations and plans, and there's nothing wrong with that, certainly. In fact, I think it's wise to make goals and plans and to be driven to succeed in certain areas of our personal and business life or spiritual life. But today what I want to share with you are three simple plans that should take the top priority for the new year. And I think this will help. It helped me as I put the message together, and I pray it'll be a blessing to you as well. The first plan to make is we should plan to let go of the past. In verse 13, the Apostle Paul here is writing, and he says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. What he's saying is he's letting them know, hey, I haven't got it all figured out. I've not arrived spiritually yet. But then he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, we've got to remember that Paul had quite a past. Here, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, probably the greatest outside of Jesus Christ himself, was the Apostle Paul. He wrote 12, possibly 13 of the books in our New Testament. And yet, Paul had a blemished past. Paul, in fact, was a blasphemer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a persecutor of Christians. Paul, before he was converted, used to go to the homes of Christians. Now, we've got to remember in the early church, people did not meet in a church building like we do today. They would meet in homes or in secret places. And Paul would go to these places and drag Christians out and take them to be tortured and oftentimes put to death for their faith in Christ. We read in the book of Acts where Paul stood there and held the coats of those who stoned the first martyr, which was Stephen. And so Paul had quite a past. But Paul knew that he would never accomplish anything for God if he didn't let go of his past. See, I believe that many Christians fail to do anything for God because they can't let go of their past. They just can't seem to move forward because they're holding on to those things in the past. And Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. First of all, I believe we must let go of past failures. First of all, there are sin failures. We've all sinned. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But as a believer, even believers have times where they sin. And that's when we need to claim 1 John 1:9, where the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe in 2010, you had a sin failure. There's something in your life that you did that you knew that wasn't right. It was against God. And you know that you need to get that thing taken care of. Well, you need to repent, of course. Go to God and confess that sin and say, God, please help me not to do that again. And then move forward. So we need to let go of sin failures. We all have them. We've all failed when it comes to living up to God's standard. But we need to confess and then move on. And then there are self failures. Someone has said that the only people who have never failed are those who haven't done anything. I was reading the history of one of our beloved presidents, Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States, probably the most beloved, or at least one of the most beloved presidents in our history. But listen to the failures in Abe Lincoln's life. In 1831, his business went bankrupt and failed. In 1832, Lincoln was defeated for state legislature. In 1835, his childhood sweetheart died. In 1836, Abraham Lincoln had a nervous breakdown. In 1838, he was defeated for Speaker of the House. In 1843, he was defeated for Congress. In 1848, 5 years later, he was defeated for Congress a second time. 1855, he was defeated for Senate. In 1856, Abe Lincoln was defeated for Vice President. In 1858, Lincoln was defeated for Senate a second time. And then finally, in 1860, Abraham Lincoln was elected the 16th President of the United States. If it wasn't for Abraham Lincoln, who knows where our country would be today? He got us through the Civil War and was able to keep the country together. Someone has also said this, I would rather fail in the cause that someday will succeed than to succeed in a cause that someday will fail. So, you know, we look at things and we say, boy, that was a failure. Well, we don't have the big picture. We never know how that God is using things and operating behind the scenes. And those things that we picture as a failure in life may actually be a springboard for something better that God has in store for us. Think of someone else that was a failure in human eyes was Jesus Christ himself. Person looks at Jesus from an earthly viewpoint, he looks like a failure. Here's a man who owned nothing. He didn't own anything. Jesus Christ said that the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He owned nothing. Jesus didn't have a fine home, didn't have a fine set of clothes or anything. He would look like a failure in today's society. Jesus Christ was born in a manger, in a barn. That sure doesn't seem like someone who would be a great success. Jesus had 12 followers, the 12 disciples. Now think of these guys. Out of these 12 followers, you know, we think of a great military leader like Napoleon or Alexander the Great. They had many, many men, soldiers that followed them. Jesus had 12. And out of those 12, one betrayed him. That was Judas Iscariot. Another, which was from inside his inner circle, was the Apostle Peter. Remember, Peter denied him, and he denied him three times. And then the Bible tells us when Jesus went to the cross that all the disciples forsook him. So here's someone who had only 12 followers, but when it came down to it, he had no followers. Boy, you look at Jesus Christ and say, boy, what a failure. And yet Jesus Christ is the world's greatest success. So just because something looks like a failure, you feel like maybe you failed in 2010, just remember that Jesus Christ may be behind the scenes operating something greater in store for you in the upcoming year. I think we need to let go of past failures and then also let go of past regrets. We need to let go of what ifs. Have you ever said, what if? Well, what if I had done this differently? Or what if I had taken this job? Or what if I had gotten this degree in school? Or what if I had married that person? Listen, we need to learn from the past, but don't linger in the past. Remember that what ifs, you know, woulda, coulda, and shoulda, those things can't change the past. holding on to them certainly is not productive in moving forward, and it also prevents us from enjoying the present and the future. When we say, boy, I would have done this, or I could have done that, or I should have done that, listen, that's living in the past, and we need to let those things go. And then we need to let go of the blame game. Now, that's a popular game today, is the blame game. The blame game started back in the book of Genesis chapter 3. Here's what the blame game is. The blame game is whenever you blame someone else for your problems. You say, well, I wasn't born into the right family, or it's someone else's fault that this happened to me. It's the blame game. In Genesis chapter 3, remember you had Adam and Eve who took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil when God had told them not to. And so God comes walking in the cool of the day, and Adam hides himself. And so God, of course, he knew where Adam was all along. He just wanted Adam to take personal responsibility. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says, "And he, God, said, Who told thee, Adam, that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Now, if you notice carefully there in verse 12, Adam actually blames two people. He says, first of all, the woman. So he tries to pass the blame on to Eve. But not only that, he has the gall to blame God himself, because he says, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. And so Adam, in a sense, is blaming God for his problems. You ever done that before? God, you're the one that's kind of caused this problem in my life. Listen, we shouldn't blame God, and we shouldn't blame someone else. But that's what Adam did. He blamed the woman, and he blamed God for providing the woman. And then in verse 13, the Bible says, "The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." She's saying, the devil made me do it. You know, I think we're all guilty of that as well. Oh, the devil made me do it. No, listen, you and I have as much problem with our own selves, with our own flesh, as we do with the devil. You know, we don't need to pass the blame on to him. We have enough problems of our own. So if we're going to let go of the past, we've got to let go of the blame game. And then I believe we need to plan. Here's the second plan. Plan to log on to the present. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 118 and verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Today is the only day you've got guaranteed. The Bible tells us, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring." Today's the only day that we really have. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you've put off getting saved and you're listening to this broadcast. Listen, today is the day to get saved. Today is the day to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, ask him to forgive you of your sins and accept him as your Savior. Today's the day. Today is the day of service. Maybe in 2010 you didn't serve the Lord like you could have. Let me challenge you in 2011. Say, I'm going to start. I'm going to start today serving the Lord. Make plans to do that. Make plans to serve God. Make plans to get saved in 2011. Someone has said that yesterday is a canceled check, tomorrow is a promissory note, but today is cash in hand. Today is the day that we have, and so we need to enjoy and live in the present. And then the last plan, number three, we need to plan to look forward to the future. Back to our text in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says in verse 13, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Notice he says reaching forth. Now, what things are we to reach forth for when we're talking about looking forward to the future? Well, I think there are three things real quick that we can see here in this text that we read this morning. First of all, we need to reach forth for power. In verse 10 of the text, Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, the first thing, if a person's going to look forward to the future, they better know the Lord. Amen. He says that I may know him. Now, to know the Lord means to know him in an intimate way. I know of Tiger Woods, but I don't know Tiger Woods. Someone can know of God or know of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you know him, That's when we can look forward to the future and we can realize and recognize the power of his resurrection. And the great thing about the power of the resurrection of Christ is that we also have that same power because the Lord Jesus Christ lives inside of us. So the first thing to look forward to the future is we must know the Lord. And then we look forward for perfection. Now Paul says this, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul actually says, hey, I want to know what the suffering was like for the Lord Jesus Christ, because that makes me conformable, or makes me like him. Now, here's something that's hard for us to realize. Did you know that it's in your failures and in your sufferings that you and I become more like Christ? And we don't like to go through those times, but actually those are the times we are being made like Christ. We all want to have things go good for us and go easy, but we don't actually grow or mature until we go through some sufferings and failures. When the Bible speaks of perfection, Paul says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. We're not going to be perfect until we reach heaven. But we ought to be growing or maturing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. The Bible says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So if we're going to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ in 2011, we're just going to have to face facts. We're going to have some failures in 2011. We may have to suffer a little bit in 2011. But as we go through those things, we are being made conformable to the image of his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we can look forward to pressing on. Verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That means that Paul says, I'm just keeping on, keeping on. I press toward the mark. He's not going to quit. Listen, don't quit in 2011. Maybe you've been serving the Lord and there's been some troubles and trials and you've been thinking about quitting. You've been thinking about quitting your service for the Lord or quitting church. Listen, you just keep on pressing on. Keep on hanging in there. Keep on serving the Lord, because we're pressing for the prize of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. So keep on pressing. So let's look at our message this morning. Three simple plans. First of all, plan to let go of the past. Number two, plan to log on to the present. This is the day which the Lord hath made. And then finally, look forward to the future. And the key there is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, we thank you so much for tuning in this morning to the Bible Truth Broadcast. We look forward to being with you again next Sunday. Until then, this is Pastor Tim Reynolds saying, may God bless you, is my prayer.
Thank you so much for tuning in the Bible Truth Broadcast today. If you believe in what Pastors Ron and Tim Reynolds are preaching, please consider becoming their radio partner. Help them get the truths of God's Word to this generation. Just send any size offering to Bible Truth Broadcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for your help. Until next Sunday, may God bless you is our prayer.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bible Truth Broadcast today. If you would like to be a Bible Truth Broadcast radio partner to help spread God's Word to Southern Illinois and the surrounding area, you may send your gift to the Bible Truth Broadcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.